when I was young, my mom had a lot of other things to take care of than this little girl. My brother was special needs, she had another baby, she had me. And if you gave her food, she was good. And I became very good at that. But I also started getting teased and I started feeling very defective. So I pulled away from people and I used food to soothe my hurt. And I still do at times. I still do. It's hard to admit that, but I do. It was really hard to feel worthy because it seemed like the first thing people noticed about me was my fat. And I don't know if that's really true, but that's what I always saw. I put up a wall between myself and people because it hurt a lot of times to be teased. And much of the time, so I wouldn't get hurt, I became a people pleaser, trying to do what people wanted me to do, what people expected me to do. And I tried to do something, anything that would make me feel some acceptance. Sometimes my thoughts were that I couldn't give into anything else but to say, they're gonna hurt me. So I would say something, you know, it was hard for me to meet new people because I would be real reticent. I was scared to open up to who I was because the first thing I felt was judgment and kind of a hurt. So I became very lonely and fearful. I have to change pages. And I think back to when my depression kind of hit, and I would say the major big time was in the summer after I graduated from high school. Now I don't know if it's because that big change was coming. I wanted to be 18. I wanted to, you know, get out of the house. I wanted to do those things. But that summer I just went into a real dark place, and I, you know, I like to think that things happen for a reason, but I think one thing I really regret is that summer, I was home alone, and a friend, somebody I'd been friends with since fourth grade, had come back to America. She was out of the country. Her parents were missionaries. And she stopped at my house to come, you know. And I saw her come, I stayed in my bedroom, and I didn't answer because I was in such a funk. And I still regret that I never reconnected with her, because she was one of those people in your life where I felt the real acceptance. You know, there's some people in your life that they accept you when you accept them, and you feel a comfortableness. That's kind of a bad word, but you feel so comfortable and at ease with them. And that's how I felt with her. But I was in such a funk, I didn't answer the door. And just the way life is, I lost touch, and I've heard different things, but I really never connected with her again. And I've felt like I've missed out on a good friendship. Let's see. With my depression came a lot of self-loathing, I guess, and low self-esteem, because I would call myself every name. You know, I'm lazy, I'm fat, I'm no good, I'm ugly, I'm mean. And sometimes I got mean. I was nasty with my dad when I was growing up. I was a teenager, so I gave myself things for that. But let's see. And then a lot of times I felt left behind. And that was because my friends had boyfriends or guys who liked them. And nobody seemed to be interested in me. I was like the eighth wheel, or fifth wheel back there. And it was like, who would like the fat girl? I didn't like the fat girl, you know. It was just tough. And yet, I kept doing what I was supposed to. I was trying to please people. I was that good girl. Okay, I'm going to school. So I went to vocational school. I graduated. My parents didn't come to my graduation because we had a fight, and I honestly don't know what Well, they came, but they were really, like, mad at me. But I was kind of feisty, I guess, or bratty, I'm not sure. But I got a job, finally, even though it took me a couple months, and my dad thought I was gonna be a bum and sleep all day. But depression kind of darkened my head for, and it still does at times, but it really is, it is there. And I still use the food, but then I found alcohol. You know, I got to be old enough to drink, or even when I wasn't old enough to drink, I found alcohol. And so there you go, oh, that's not a good thing for a person. But you know what it does when you meet new people? If you're drinking, it's much easier to say, hi, how are you? Yeah, so you, so let's see. I didn't see much, I discovered alcohol. Alcohol was fun for a while. But then when I was 26, I went to a work-sponsored convention thing, and I was picked out of a whole group of people in the lab to go. I'm like, okay, this is really cool. So what do I go and do? Great day. I go and get drunk. And I mean, we're talking incredibly embarrassing drunk. So somebody gave me a ride home. Somebody drove my car home. I don't remember exactly who. I left the notebook there that I was supposed to have. And, you know, I didn't even want to go to work the next day, but, you know, you have to do what you have to do. And I couldn't give up my job. You know, I that was one thing my parents got in me. You know, you work, take care of yourself. So I was good at that. I did go to work. But luckily, I had enough sense to call AA. Two people came up. I was living in Northeast Minneapolis, and two people came up from the Bloomington group and 12-stepped me. And that was the best thing that happened to me for a really long time. I started going to meetings. I stopped drinking. I met a lot of people. And when I never truly got like one sponsor, but I had a sponsor, one of the lady who 12-stepped me, and actually the guy that came with her. I met with them outside of the group. I met with other people. We had some Saturday morning breakfasts. We had other functions that we did. And I got to a point where I was finding serenity in the 12 steps, and they really gave me, and I remember shortly after I joined AA, I remember talking to a woman, and she was a couple years older than me. But she was really helpful because I had a wedding with a lot of my drinking friends who didn't appreciate my drinking, by the way, but, you know, that was still, you know, I still was, you know, and how am I going to go to this wedding and not drink? You know, that was really a big issue. And she really talked me through it. She helped me with that. And as I was going through doing this and, you know, living the AA program, I really felt better, and there was a point where I accepted that, you know what, I have a pretty good life here. You know, I had a job I liked, I had friends both in AA and outside at work that I was letting in, that I felt close to, that I depended on to enjoy life with. And I loved them, they loved me, and And I had gratitude, I really did. I had serenity, and I had gratitude, and I had joy. And I had a really nice routine, you know, where I took time to take care of myself by reading and smoking. But anyway, coffee and a cigarette, and you read the Today book, or the, you know, the book was good. But, I went to different functions with AA people. And that's how I met my husband. And he was an AA. So I made some assumptions about him because he was an AA that weren't fair to him. Probably not to me either, but to him. And for a long time, I resented him for misrepresenting himself, but he didn't. I wanted him to be something he wasn't, and because he was an AA, I assumed he had certain attributes I'd seen with other people in the group. But through all this, we got married anyway. We had two kids. And after I had my kids, when we got married, we moved, and I just kind of stopped going to AA because it was across the river. The groups I went to in our area, they just didn't work. And pretty soon I just kind of got away from it. Then I had two kids, and I got depressed. My depression came back, and there was a time, I think, between my two kids. In the paper, I saw a thing for EA, and I'm like, So, you know, they had a little thing in the want ads or whatever, and I thought, maybe that's what I need. Because I tried OA again, because I was eating, and I gained weight after I had my son, and because I'd lost weight before I met my husband, and just kind of, I guess it was with the friends I had, I lost some weight, and I was feeling pretty good. When I had the kids, I quit smoking. That was it. I quit smoking, and then all of a sudden, I thought, okay, time to lose weight, because I was relying on Snicker bars, and that's not a good thing. And then I kept getting queasy. Well, turns out I was pregnant. There you go. And then I had to change jobs, and I was still really resentful of my husband, because I felt like I had made all these changes for our family. I quit a job I liked. I was home with the kids, and that was, I wanted to be home with the kids, so I can't say, but I resented that I felt like I was making all the changes and he wasn't. And that's not fair, because he was home with the kids three nights a week. He had a great routine. He was a good dad. Not that he didn't try, it's just my attitude. And I was really depressed, and I was really angry. I didn't like myself. I didn't like other people too much. And I was really wishing I'd never been born. And I've had that feeling from the time I was quite young. I wish I'd never been born. I wish I was a different person than I was. And I didn't accept Karen I was. And I didn't let other people see the Karen I am. I didn't let my husband see a lot of me. We're still working on that. And he didn't let me see. You know, we are compatible in a lot of respects that way. We both have the same shortcomings or defects. I'm not sure if you call them defects, but, you know, things that, you know, they don't... We can really go down fast, or it's not really the best word, but anyway, so when my son was like 13 and he told me he hated me, I was like, yep, everybody hates me. Even this kid who I loved like nobody else hates me, and I hated me. I was just getting by. Some days I'd be making the bed and I'm thinking, oh, I wish I could just back in and not go anywhere. I never quite did that, but there sure was times when it took me an awful long time to get out of the shower because I just didn't want to move. I didn't. I did the bare minimum of what I had to do to get by every day. And I kept people, really, most people stay here because I just didn't trust myself and I didn't trust them. I was really, I felt like I'd been hurt a lot by people's attitude towards me, and that's probably not true because I was very egocentric also. I didn't see that. I was sacrificing. I was always doing what mom wanted, what Wayne wanted, what the kids wanted, what work wanted, what other people wanted. But, you know, I'm not doing anything Karen wants. Well, I sure did complain about it enough. Let's see. So, I tried Overeaters Anonymous. And that's where I was in the HOW program. And the sponsors there, they
Don't do this. There was good and bad with it, because in the group I was in, I had to call my sponsor daily and tell them my menu for the day. So I had to change my menu and to call them. Also, part of it was you were given an assignment, and you had to read the assignment to your sponsor. But she got to know me, and most of the time I had to call them, but they got to know me pretty well. That was good for me. And you don't know how many times I got pushed back to start with stuff. Sometimes, yeah, because if you didn't adhere to those rules, you back to step one. And sometimes your sponsor would say, I can't work with you because you're just not following the rules. And so that was tough. I did get to the point where I got to my step five, and they did that mostly with my sponsor. And I guess I didn't, it wasn't like I sat down with her and said, oh, well, you know, it was kind of a slow process of doing my step four and reading her a lot of those things. And so I was a sponsor for a short time, but I didn't like it. I didn't know. I was not very good at being, I'm a passive person. I'm not very good at being forceful and saying, well, I don't think what you're doing is probably what the program thinks you should be taking, you know, what's in the program. And I slipped, so I was back to step one. But at that time, I realized, before I joined, actually, I realized how much I missed the 12-step program and having a higher power. And because I was going back and forth with my belief in God or a higher power. I always believed, and I went to church at times, but I didn't feel a real close connection. I really had lost that serenity that I had before I got married, and I really craved having that back. And when Sharon called me and told me she was going to EA and started talking about the 12 steps, that's real. I missed that. So I went to EA and, you know, did all these things, and or OA, and it helped. And then I decided to try EA. Now, EA is different than OA and AA. You know, I thought, oh, it's based on the same concepts. But there's no abstinence date. You know, you don't start and then fall back. I mean, you're here and then you step. You watch your steps and you grow. And I didn't understand that at first. I'm like, well, how do you know if you're getting better? Who knows, you know? And at that point, I started, initially I used the group as my sponsor because I listened to what everybody said. I connected. My first few meetings, I had to write down, my name is Karen and I am, you know, powerless over my emotions. I couldn't remember it. You know, it was like I was under stress or something. And I didn't want to say anything. It's like, pretend I'm not here. I'm just here to watch. And that's where, like the reading I read this morning, that was a part of my life that was, I wasn't living my life because I was always trying to be away from somebody. I was always trying to be on the edge. I always lived on the perimeter of things. I never stepped in and let God involved too much. Oh, don't ask me to do too much. I'll help, but I'm not going to, you know, I don't want anybody to, you know, be unhappy with me or displeased with what I'm doing. I was a people pleaser, so do it right, you know, or don't do it at all kind of thing. Right. And it was so much easier just to step back and, you know, oh, I'll pick up the plates. I won't plan this whole party. I'll just, you know, do that kind of thing. So I remember thinking, gosh, how is this going to work? But then all of a sudden, one day, you know, you go to the and I need people was always one of us. I need people. I don't need people. I don't need people. I'm a person who needs to have quiet time. But you know what? I need people. I realized that a lot because I realize that I get energy from being quiet, being contemplated and turning away when I need to. But if I pull away too much, that just takes me back to the food, back to other places that I don't feel very comfortable. And the depression and Well, since I've joined the group, and it has been a couple of 5 years or something, I feel, you know, it's so weird, because I remember saying at a meeting, I don't know what it is, but it's different. Life is different. There's that something that clicks in my head, and by listening to people, you know, I leave the meetings and during the, you know, I hear people say, oh, don't believe that, I hear things, you know, things that get said, I'll hold on. And you know, different times, especially I was feeling more like the kind of job I had, and I started to feel a little bit stressed. I walked down the hall. And make me wise, you know, help me. And so was, I put myself in a job where I was in front of people. I felt that schizophrenic thing, like sometimes I'd lay in bed and go, how do I would never stand in front of people. I'm like, wait a minute, I stand in front of a group of students and talk. How is that? Now I've come together, because those students give me energy. And I've let down my guard, because I used to be afraid to be with new people, because I felt less than, not worthy. And now, from the group, I've learned that I am worthy. I've connected with people outside the meeting. I go and I've had some coffee with people. I'm still not what you call the best at reaching out, but I see where other people have done co-sponsoring. I see this energy and this liveliness in our group that is just really enticing. You know, it's like, hey, I want to be part of this. And I'm more comfortable at being able to say, let's, you know, I need to talk about this. I can sit down with my husband now and say, let's talk about this. I mean, I was so very self-centered, and we'd have these nasty fights, and I just wanted him to say once, yeah, Karen, you're right. Well, those fights were, yeah, you know, you never get anywhere trying to do that. And I was thinking when Father Tom said when he quit asking to go to Alaska, they sent him. So when I quit asking him to tell me that I'm right, guess what? All of a sudden, you know, you were right. He'd come back and tell me something, you know, 2 days later, and I'm like, about what? You know, because I'm like, yes, of course. And he would bring back something we had been discussing. And I learned to stop. I went to counseling, and I learned to stop. You know, this is mine. That was his. And just because I wanted an affirmation from somebody outside me, I had my higher power. I had my group. I had something in me that gave me the affirmation. I don't have to have him tell me I'm right. I feel that, you know, and some of it was really true, but I felt like I had a reason for being around now. I have a long way to go. I have a lot to learn in the group, but I have found a joy that I haven't had in a long time. I'll have those flashes of joy, and of course, you know, it pops in your head, this too shall pass. Because I remember reading that about happiness too, and, you know, because I usually would use that when I was feeling really crappy, oh, this too shall pass. But, you know, happiness and joy do that. This too will pass. But I can tell you that I don't have the lows, and I never really had the great highs, but I get a joy and a serenity that I can just sit with and go, wow, this is cool. You know, it used to be, I hope I could hang on to it. I'm going to hope I can hang on to it. Now it's just like I have to live in the moment, enjoy it today, enjoy it for what it is, because tomorrow I'll wake up and, you know, all of a sudden the lights, my head seems gray. I have a dear friend in Sharon, you know that, and so I think we've talked about this, and I think we've been co-sponsors to each other, because sponsorship is a commitment, and I liked that, because And there's a certain commitment, but it's a friendship, and I can talk about things that are going on in here. And when Scott said last night that so much of his family lived for the outside and they didn't have much of an inner life, I feel that with my family. You know, I always felt like I was the odd man out because I had all these emotions and nobody else did. You know, I was always I cried the easiest. I was sensitive when people called me names and fatty and all this. I mean, you want to hear how mean I was once. This girl down the street could always make me cry. And she'd pick on me or say something and I'd cry. It made me so mad that I would give in, you know, that I would do this. So one day when she made me cry, she's walking back up the hill, I took a rock and I threw it.
Oh.
And I hit her in the back of the head. Oh boy, that was really short lived. She turned right back around and told my mom. You know, but I made her cry, but then of course I got scolded, and my mom talked to me about it, and she said, yeah, you shouldn't do this, and I thought, oh boy, just wait till she tells Dad. She never did, or if she did, he never said anything to me, but I learned my lesson. I wasn't going to throw a box, and I wasn't going to try to make other people cry for my pleasure, I guess it was. But that's how much I wanted to bring people down to my level, I guess it was. It was mean. But you know, everything you do teaches you something. And I can honestly say I've never thrown a rock at anybody again. it was not to hurt them anyway. I do need people, and I think one of the last retreats, somebody made all those little banners. They sewed them with the stitching, you know, it was a little banner, and I have that in my bedroom kind of where it says, I need people, because when I came into AEA, I didn't want to need people. I kind of did, but I only wanted to need them when I thought it was good for me. I was very selfish. I didn't always see it that way, but I've been working on my fourth step too for tomorrow. And my eyes have opened to how me thinking I was being a martyr wasn't really about serving other people, it was about serving me, making, you know, that was how I got by, oh, I'm such a great person, because I let, you know, but I never could say that either. I didn't feel like a great person. I was just an unhappy, depressed person. But I need people, and I'm glad that I found EA, because it's helped me be able to say, I have joy, my life is worth living, and I'm still growing, and that's a nice part. There's just a lot more I can talk a lot, so I won't anymore. So I think with that, I'm going to stop. I get along better with people. I don't feel as undeserving to talk, especially at work. I have I'm less educated than a lot of the people I work with, so I would kind of try to shy away from, and that probably helped, because I've always wanted to kind of stay on the edge, but then I don't. You know, I want to be part of a group. I want to be like, you know, in the in group, or I want to feel connected to a group. And in EA, in the group, our Apple Valley group, I feel connected. I feel that feeling that when I first came to the group and after the meeting and everybody starts talking and I'm like, I don't know what to do, I'm going to leave. I wanted to feel that. And now I feel that. You know, and I'm still very sensitive to when I meet new people or know, it's hard for me to go into a group and say something. Sometimes it's best if I listen, though. I've learned a lot from being quiet and listening, too. And people tell me I have a certain calm. Now, you know, and that's nice to hear because I don't always feel as calm as I must look on the outside. And I feel like I am stronger than I used to give myself credit for. I've gone through some things. I've had a good higher power who's taken care of me. Scott said something about that yesterday, how even if he wasn't quite connecting with his higher power was out there. And I really do feel like my higher power took care of me when I was definitely wasn't taking very good care of myself or the people I love. And I've been given a lot more than I probably deserve. But I've also been given, I've had the blessing of being able to see that some of these things are blessings that I didn't, and that, like I've made mistakes, but I've been able to go back and some of them correct or move on from them. And my higher power has really helped me in that respect. I'm fortunate because my life could have been a lot, could have taken a lot worse turns. I mean, like when I was drinking, some of the stupid things I did, I shouldn't be here. I mean, you know, in those few years, I did some really dumb things. And so I have to feel that, you know, there's a reason my higher power kept me going and kept pulling me into a 12-step group, and why I appreciate the format of EA. Because my emotions have always been where everything boils down to. And I'm always going to fight with my emotions and with making them feel better with food. But as you can see right now, food's kind of winning. But I'm okay with that. There's not as, you know, it's not like, oh, Karen, again. Okay, sometimes at night that pops up a little. But I'm trying really hard to live the positive things in the program and the positive things in my life. And thank you for listening to me. And with that, I will close.
Thanks, Karen.